Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Away we go, live on this Wednesday, March 27th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L, Dawn Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers, Tony Bruno coming up at 8:30 this morning. We've got a great show for you. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you as well. Gregory?
Yeah, buddy.
Middle of the week?
Yeah. Wednesday, getting closer to Friday.
You're counting down the days and the hours?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
By the way, I want to be this North Carolina radio host that Karine Jean-Pierre hung up on.
You want to get hung up on as well?
I do too, yes.
By the binder?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah? How dare you ask a question that doesn't jive Amazing. With the agenda?
Amazing.
They did insert that ringtone, though.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. Really?
They inserted that.
For anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, she was asked a question. We'll play it later. But yeah. She asked a question, or the reporter, the host, asked a question. She didn't like the answer, so she hung up.
I didn't know that she did radio hits. But secondly, and maybe the more important question is, why the hell would you want to book her for your radio show?
Yeah.
You know?
I think this is more of a news station than anything.
So it's more of like our sister station down the hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that just shows you how sensitive they are.
Hey, Karine, how's the economy right now under Joe?
I would refer you to the White House Counsel.
Click. Dial tone. Have a great day, sir. There Funny. You go. All right, we got a lot of good stuff lined up this morning. A big take on identity politics. I thought Bill Maher had a great monologue on the divisive nature of identity politics and how it could cost Democrats this fall. We'll get to that. NBC and Ronna McDaniel. Bye-bye. We'll get to that. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow taking victory laps on television. Losers. Truth Social and the stock market. The abortion Ooh. Pill.
By the way, we called that yesterday at like 9:50 when the word came down that the brass at NBC was going to meet about this.
Yeah.
We were all like, yep, she's out.
Yep.
Cancel
she's
culture.
Done. She's done.
Yep. You are not welcome, ma'am. After further review, what a bunch of cowards.
Well, Hugh Hewitt was on Fox yes. News saying that she should sue. Like, she's not, like, that's ridiculous. He's dopey.
Oh, no. She will sue.
No, she.
Oh, she has a lawsuit.
No, she does not.
Yes, she does.
Absolutely.
Can she win?
Not. She absolutely yes. does not. No.
She has a lawsuit.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
She has a lawsuit.
You out of everybody should know TV contracts. There's zero chance that the NBC lawyers are going to, you know, leave any I undotted or T uncrossed.
But as a network, she can claim damages. The entire network.
For what? What damages? They made an awful decision by hiring her and firing her.
Disagree.
Wow.
I think she has a lawsuit.
There's the 6:30 block, folks. Get ready.
Karen Stenslin wants to sue everybody.
No. Just on this one. I just think it'd be fun to watch. It'd be delicious. Because then we get to see all their... Then they're going to subpoena. They're going to get all their texts. We get to get all their insane texts back and forth. I'm just thinking it's great fodder.
All right. We'll
not,
get into
not
it.
That we need more content.
Well, yeah, I know. Because we only get through like two-thirds of it each day every day.
That's true.
So that's all coming up. We've got a P. Diddy update, Tony Bruno, the cut sheet, all the good stuff still ahead this morning. All right, but let's get to the news at 6:05, round number one, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning this Wednesday morning, March 27th, 43 degrees, cloudy, heading up to 54. When will the rain arrive and how long will it last, especially with tomorrow's Philadelphia Phillies home opener and season opener? We are sponsored this morning by our friends from Anderson Mechanical Corporation. The U.S. Coast Guard suspending search and rescue efforts last night for six people who were on the Francis Scott Key Bridge, of course, when it collapsed, a major breaking story that we've been talking about for days now. It started early yesterday morning following that major cargo boat collision there, and efforts are expected to resume right now this morning within the next few minutes for those missing individuals who are now presumed dead. Search and recovery operations halted overnight due to dangerous conditions, including very unstable sections of the steel bridge and those shipping containers hanging off the cargo ship. So in Baltimore, the city fire chief there saying that divers are returning to the water this morning to search for the six missing who are believed to be construction workers. And they believe six, that's the total missing. We had initially heard up to 20 people. And so now they're saying they're quite sure they're looking for six.
Just a little nugget of information here. Last year in 2023, $80 billion worth of cargo passed through that Baltimore port. So if you're thinking about supplies and things like that, it's a big, big spot. $80 billion go through there on an annual basis.
Yeah, it's incredible. And now they're saying, experts here are saying, we're not going to feel this crunch here in Philadelphia as much. We're not going to be affected. But in truth, they have to acknowledge with that much. I think we're number 19 in the nation as far as ports and goods. I think they're 17th in the nation. Houston, Texas is the first, which is incredible. But you think about this, how does it, and now with gas prices on the rise, egg prices on the rise.
Right.
Also, how does this impact us economically?
Did you guys notice the skyline this morning with all the buildings that were lit up purple?
Purple.
I think that's obviously like kind of like a little salute to the city of Baltimore, I'm presuming. Baltimore Ravens are.
I think
wear purple. That's my only guess.
That makes sense.
Total shot in the dark here, but yeah, it might be what it is.
I love that. Boathouse Roche was not lit up, Nick.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was not. But the skyscrapers down here in the city are.
That's a good call by you. I was wondering why they were purple.
I was staring at it way too much as I'm driving. I'm like, let me get back to focusing on the road here before I crash.
So the U.S. Coast Guard is examining damaged shipping containers. Some contain potentially hazardous materials. These are all the things. We started talking yesterday about the fuel leak because we knew that there was about 1.8 million gallons of fuel inside the ship for its spill potential. So we had touched on that yesterday, but they also say, this is a huge cargo ship. Take one of our skyscrapers. The Comcast Center, for example, lay it on its side. That's about the size of that cargo ship, just to try to relate it. And so think of that, you know, full of those containers. And so now we have all these federal agencies, regional agencies looking through there to make sure, you know, is this a hazmat situation? So there's so much closer to home recovery efforts for a six-year-old little girl who we've been talking a lot about this week, who was swept away in the Chester Creek over the weekend. Those recovery efforts were ceased yesterday after officials say they are unable to find the child. It was an exhaustive effort, and they put all resources, you know, this week through the weekend and yesterday as well, and they just say they came up empty-handed. So now officials say it's heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. The community, obviously, as they grieve this little girl's death and investigate everything, they fix the fencing around the park. Apparently, some of the fencing was down, so that's how the kids got through and got so close to the creek. This is six-year-old little Linaja Brooker, I should say. She fell into the Chester Creek near 8th and James Streets. So now the First, it was a search crew, obviously search crews out there over the weekend. Then it became a recovery mission. At this point, despite all the efforts of emergency local personnel, county, state, even federal agencies who've been searching for the little girl, they say that they now are suspending those recovery efforts. Yeah, I know it's tragic.
It is.
We have our friend in Yadin, Pennsylvania, former police chief in Yadin, and the borough there finally settling that federal racial discrimination lawsuit. So we had talked about it this week. We knew that they were settling. We now know the amount and more details about our friend. They called him Chachi, former chief there, Anthony Papero. He had filed that suit, that lawsuit, saying that he was, you know, they racially discriminated against him. He was a successful police chief there. Crime was lower. The community loved him. And yes, it's a predominantly African-American community. Many of, especially the little African-American ladies, that's how they started calling him Chachi after, you know, happy days. They thought he kind of looked like Chachi on happy days.
I was thinking about that for a moment. I'm like, I know I've heard that name Chachi before.
And they loved him.
Yeah.
And so there were, you know, there was testimony, there were witnesses. And yes, so they settled the lawsuit. He received $2.5 million after being fired, he says, because he was white.
Oh.
So they moved toward a settlement. He has said that he's heartbroken. He loved his job, wanted his job back. They said no, they would not give him his job back. So not quite a jackpot, unless, of course, he played the lottery, because this jackpot, one ticket matching all numbers in yesterday's $1.13 billion Mega Millions jackpot, was sold in New Jersey, according to lottery officials. Was
no
it you?
Way.
One ticket matched the numbers.
So that means we have one winner?
There's one $1 billion winner.
Oh,
one of the
boy.
Biggest jackpots in the lottery's history.
You taking the lump? You taking the lump sum?
Do you have to decide that beforehand?
I would have it decided before I won.
Yeah, because I definitely always I didn't play this one. Hope my husband did. Maybe Lair Bear did.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're not in tomorrow, we know why.
So tickets, by the way, matching five of the six numbers valued at $1 million or more, they were sold in 13 different states. One of those tickets carried the Megaplier, giving it a value of $2 million. So we'll wait to hear from the lucky billion-dollar win. And finally, I will say, well, you know, our own Philly star, Bryce Harper, he's already a winner. He and his wife, Kayla, announcing they're expecting their third baby.
Oh, boy. I'm going on record right now. Down year for Bryce Harper, folks. Get ready for it.
Why would you say
wife
that?
Wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's the third kid, though.
I've seen it on the PGA Tour, too. As soon as these guys get their wife pregnant, their game goes to hell.
Yep.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's the third kid. It's not the first kid. It's not this. The third kid is like, you know, you don't even carry a diaper bag.
These guys find something else to do.
You're so funny.
I'm so sexist.
Congratulations to Bryce Harper, Bryce and Kayla,
yes,
pregnant for the season. And that brings us to the forecast, as we're sponsored by Anderson Mechanical Corporation. Yes, AMC, the people to call to make sure your home is ready to keep cool this summer. Carrie, Bill, the guys, you met them during the Travis Mannion TMF, huge fundraiser, the thon that we had on Friday. Great team, and the entire team, they're dedicated to providing the highest quality service. Call them today, schedule a spring tune-up, and save big time. Visit amcontheweb.com, amcontheweb.com. Quick look at the forecast. Nice today. Rain holds off. Not a lot of rain today. 54 degrees, mostly cloudy, some sprinkles here and there. But tomorrow, opening day, 305, our Phillies. It's, you know, wear your rain jacket. What can I say?
Yeah.
It's going to be warm and rainy. Not too warm, but very rainy.
All right.
I'm sorry. And then Good Friday, we're teed up for quite a lovely forecast Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've been talking about a lot of sunshine, warmer weather through Easter weekend. So we just have to get through tomorrow. Hopefully the bulk of that rain lets up by 3:05 tomorrow. Fingers crossed. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning, the evolution of and the erosion of identity politics. From my vantage point, identity politics started to gain steam and become a thing during the second Obama term. It was shoved violently into overdrive during the Trump administration as a counter to the MAGA movement. Democrats embraced it as progressives hijacked their party. The media took off with it in every aspect of selecting stories to cover, the editorial process of what should be published or grace your TV screens. Corporations and companies around the globe embraced nonsense practical practices like DEI and ESG. But the reality is this: identity politics is divisive, and it is also counter to this country. We live in a nation where we all have far more in common than we are led to believe. And according to Bill Maher, identity politics is a major Achilles heel of the Democratic Party. Here was Bill Friday night on HBO. Listen and watch part one.
I think now more than ever, we need to stop talking about the things that make Americans different from each other and start honoring the things that make us the same. So let my people, the Irish, lead the way. Because again, the Irish thing, I don't give a shit. But I do give a shit who wins the next election. An outdated racial pandering is one reason Democrats lose elections. When Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi put on kente cloth, I don't think it earned them one vote for their powerful emotional ties to Ghana. Here in California, we're now segregating kidnapping. Really? California doesn't just have Amber Alerts for missing children. We have Ebony Alerts for black children and Feather Alerts for Native American kids.
It is a great point by Bill, and I think he's absolutely right. The left only panders to people based on the optics. The reality is most people don't care about your race or other qualifiers of identity. He's also right with the absurdity of California and missing children. Here's part two of Bill Maher on America's race obsession within the far left wing. Listen and watch part two.
Chris Elba, who says, as humans, we are obsessed with race, and that obsession can really hinder people's aspirations. Actress Raven Simone agrees. She told Oprah, I'm tired of being labeled. I'm not an African-American. I'm an American. She says, I don't know what country in Africa I'm from. My roots are in Louisiana. And you don't have to agree with that. But it's a point of view a lot of people have. It should be respected. Morgan Freeman says the way to finish off racism is stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man, and I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. There's even a movement now to ban racial questions on the census, and many of its leaders are people of color, like Professor Sheena Mason, who says to undo racism, we have to undo our belief in race. The liberal group MoveOn.org, formed in 1998 to urge Republicans to move on from the Clinton impeachment. Today's Democrats should move on from identity politics. It's not working.
I think Bill is spot on, and we have more proof to back that up. Headline from the Daily Mail, even more bad news for Biden, as a new poll shows that 40% of black voters say they don't want to vote in the 2024 election. A new poll released on Monday indicates that many black voters are considering not voting in the 2024 election. It found that one in four young black voters have considered withholding their vote as an act of protest. Black voters were critical to Biden winning in 2020, with over close to 90% backing him over Donald Trump. But America's political landscape is changing. That's the headline in the Free Beacon. We will give you details on that in a moment. But first, Bill Maher on this changing of America. Listen and watch part three.
Democrats are hemorrhaging the very voters they think they're pandering to. The Financial Times writes, Democrats are going backwards faster with voters of color than any other demographic, and suggests the reason is that a less racially divided America is an America where people vote more based on their beliefs than their identity. Exactly. Far left liberals are living in an old paradigm. Americans don't fit into neat little boxes anymore. Who has the number one country song right now? Beyonce. Lil Nas X won a country music award, and he's black and gay.
Matthew Continetti writes in the Free Beacon that America's political realignment is real. The education divide could restore Donald Trump to office. Matthew writes, quote, if Donald Trump is elected president in November, he will have assembled a coalition unlike any Republican nominee in my lifetime. For decades, GOP success had depended on support from college-educated white voters in the suburbs and non-college-educated white voters in manufacturing centers and rural areas. Nixon, Reagan, both Bushes, and Trump in 2016 used this strategy to great effect. And while it worked for Trump in 16, that was not the case in 2020. According to Fox News and their voter analysis, Trump lost white college-educated voters by 7 points and independent voters by 15 points in 2020. But Republicans have actually done better and did better in 2022's midterms, only losing white college-educated voters by a single point and independents by just 5 points. One might assume then that a Trump-led Republican Party will continue to struggle for as long as it repels college-educated white voters and independents. Yet, that's not true. Trump isn't struggling. On the contrary, he's been leading President Biden for months in the polls. Independents have returned to Trump's column. Trump's gains among non-college-educated, non-white voters have compensated for his continued problem with college-educated white voters. Matthew finally wraps up by going on to write, a realigned politics is unstable. As the Democrats become the party of college-educated, affluent insiders, they become removed from the world of non-college-educated workers who feel ignored or excluded from the elite institutions and expert decision-making. The highly educated, highly compensated denizens of Washington, D.C. and its surrounding counties have become a world unto themselves. Those who live inside the bubble find it hard, if not impossible, to see outside of it. We aren't used to a politics where the party of the left represents the establishment and the party of the right represents an insurgent movement against the settled way of doing things. I agree with a lot of what Matt just wrote there. Here's more of the rejection of identity politics on Bill Maher's show. Listen and watch this final clip.
Thirds of Republican voters support weed legalization. And 40... Yeah. And 41% of Democrats own or live with someone who owns a gun. Miss Marvel is Pakistani, and the winner of the last two NBA dunk contests is white. The new Captain America is black, and Spider-Man is black and Puerto Rican, just like AI George Washington.
And here's further proof of the changing of the times per Axios, quote, new traditional media is dead. Social media is declining as Americans are splintering into new bubbles based on ideology, wealth, jobs, age, and location. From, quote, MAGA mind melders to liberal warriors, a look at today's 12 most powerful political bubbles. These bubbles include the following groups, the Musketeers, Instagrammers, TikTok kids, new age grandmas, right-wing grandpas, MAGA mind meddlers, liberal warriors, elite power consumers, the financiers, pacifists, and the emerging majority. We'll look at these groups coming up later in detail, but the general principle of people retreating to and never emerging from their political bubble is a bad practice. Identity politics is a cancer to citizens of this country. And when liberals are in agreement, it's probably wise for Democrats to ditch it, even though they won't. And it's also time for Republicans to be careful on taking a copycat approach in 2024. Merit, commonalities, good people. That's how and who we should select and surround ourselves with. No more boxes, no more identity politics. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
If you want to jump in, thoughts and reaction, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT
and hit the like and subscribe buttons today. We'll come back, talk a little bit about these bubbles with identity politics, and then we'll get to Ronna McDaniel as she has been fired by NBC, and also Donald Trump's Truth Social soaring on day one of the stock market. I think I told you that was going to happen. We're back after this. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, lets you bet on every game of the tournament. It doesn't matter if your bracket's busted. You can still watch every game of the college basketball tournament and bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Like I said, FanDuel.com/Greg and bet on college hoops until they cut down the net. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, President PA, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Cut sheet coming up 7:45. Tony Bruno live from Florida at 8:30. Yeah, I went back yesterday and I watched the entire opening monologue on my DVR of Bill Maher from Friday night, where he did his opening monologue on identity politics. And I have been somebody that has been very, very much adamantly against identity politics. I think it's a major, major issue when you view everything through just one lens or one prism. So that's kind of why I wanted to get into that a little bit in the big take this morning. But then also, Axios.com, which I quoted with the 12 bubbles that exist, which is very interesting because in this identity politics world, we are now, quote, more divided than ever, where we all just kind of go into our little safe space, our little comfort zone, whether that's Instagram or Rumble or whatever it might be, Truth Social, Facebook, you name it. And Axios points out you can't understand November's election or America itself without reckoning how our media attention has shattered into a bunch of mishappen pieces. I threw out those groups, and I find this to be very interesting because I think this is really accurate. And these 12 little powerful bubbles that a lot of us reside in, I find to be quite fascinating. You have a group called the Musketeers, after Elon Musk. They say this is a fast-growing, mostly male group who feed off of Twitter, podcasts such as Joe Rogan, and follow independent reporters led by people like Barry Weiss. Then they have another group called Instagrammers. This is mostly young to middle-aged women in college and the professional class. TikTok kids. This is where most kids get most of their information about the world and hot news topics. New age grandmas. Consumers of news on Facebook have been trending older. So that would be like my mother-in-law. You know, she's like 63. She gets her news from Facebook and she posts how much she hates Donald Trump. Those are the weird people out there. Right-wing grandpas, which would be senior citizens, especially men, who still flock to Fox News. On down the list, liberal warriors, they say. Think of people like Rachel Maddow as the patron saint of this block. And on down the list. It's a very interesting story. There's 12 groups on Axios if you want to take a look at it. But I thought it was fascinating from the standpoint of nowadays, you know, back in the day, so to speak, we would get our news from the newspaper, from cable, and from television and nightly newscasts. Now it's all a la carte, on demand, go to your select niche. And I think we've made it so select that we even have factions of conservatives and Republicans now that are like, you know what, Fox is a little too mainstream for me. I go Newsmax. And I think you do yourself a disservice when you only consume or you only stay in one little bubble. Stocker, I'll give you credit. When you send out the email each night with stories that you think are interesting, you might have a story from Fox News or the Washington Examiner, and then you send something from ABC News or Politico, and you kind of span the gamut of far left to far right and everywhere in between. I think we need to get back to at least acknowledging that in this identity politics-driven world.
I read everything. Honestly, I read everything, and if I find it an interesting story, I don't care where it comes from. I read everything. So, right. Yeah, I don't just live in a certain, you know, sphere of news, but unfortunately, most people do. So.
Yeah. And so does NBC. Let's get to this, because I know you guys were fired up about this about 25, 30 minutes ago. NBC plans to fire Ronna McDaniel amid in-house backlash. NBC News will drop former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel following days of on-air backlash from NBC and MSNBC hosts. That, according to Puck News, the first to report the story on Tuesday. According to the report, McDaniel seeking legal representation as her termination is imminent. A network insider told Fox News on Monday that NBC executives discussed cutting McDaniel over the weekend as the pushback was, quote, worse than leadership anticipated. It started with Chuck Todd on Sunday, then it went to Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe on Monday morning, into Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, and Joy Reid. I love the way this is quoted here. It was worse than leadership anticipated. First of all, that's not leadership. Leadership doesn't cave because somebody's in their feelings over something that they don't approve of and they don't like. This is classic cancel culture. This is, let's select somebody, let's say something, let's tweet something, let's do something, and then all of a sudden there's blowback, there's pushback. Nobody had an issue with it to start, and then it's like, wow, I didn't think the people would be this triggered over this. To me, this is cancel culture. This is an act of cowardice. Stand with your initial decision, because I would say this, NBC saw something in Ronna McDaniel. They thought she offered something of value. They viewed her to be an asset, whether that's with access and information or merely just an opposing viewpoint for the betterment of their network. And they allowed the prisoners to run the asylum. So now Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow and Chuck Todd and Morning Joe, they all get their wish. Ronna McDaniel gets fired. I know you guys were debating earlier this morning about the lawsuit. I think there's a lawsuit for everything. Question is, can she win that? Dawn, you think she can?
I think that she'll get a settlement, and I think they know that. I couldn't stop when I saw the coverage last night and all the images, all of all these people, and you played them yesterday. Joy, who has no joy, and Mika Brzezinski, even the New York Times talked about what Mika said, and all of them that it called it extraordinary. But Cesar Conde, who's the one who wrote the memo apologizing to these individuals, he went to Harvard. He went right here to the Wharton School in the University of Pennsylvania. Seems like a very nice man. He was neutered. He's a gelding now. He was.
Wait, so he's an executive that was in on the decision-making process, and he's writing a letter apologizing to his talent?
This gentleman is the chairman of the NBC Universal News Group, oversees NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, all of them, and highly educated. From what I hear, just the nicest gentleman, brilliant guy. And I actually feel sorry for him that, you know, he was pounded like this, but he caved to it, and maybe under pressure from other executives. But I will say that I feel, depending on the contract, which Greg brought up, depending on the contract, however, it's always the memo. And so the fact that she was not told, you never handle HR things through memos, right? That's why, seriously, companies, I've been in broadcasting and, yes, television most of my career. You never release a memo like this, ever. The memo is a problem. And so to release an HR-related memo and then apologize after they allowed all these individuals on the air, I'll say, what did Carville call them? Preachy females?
Preachy females.
There you go. They're the poster children for the preachy females.
You're exactly right.
But to release that public memo or to release that staff memo about an HR matter, and then it does depend on her contract, but she'll get a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
She'll definitely get a settlement.
Yeah, she'll get something for like compensatory damages or something like that, you know, because they had, I would assume, and I don't know the language of any contract or anything, but I assume they had a contract for her, and by taking it away, you're in some sort of breach of contract. But like,
What is their justification, though? How do you justify in a court of law on behalf of NBC where you're arguing that? My talent got in their feelings? I don't know what their case is.
It really does depend on the contract, to Greg's point. And by the way, the agency repping her dumped her.
Yep.
As well.
Yeah. Oh.
The same, yeah.
So they're not getting their cuts. They're like, you know, we don't need you.
They dumped
her. Yeah.
But Kat, you know, she's a public person, and I don't know that she can. I don't think it's an issue of damages. I think by the memo and allowing these people to just say essentially she's a danger to democracy, and they said horrible things about her.
And I'm no fan of Ronna McDaniel. I wanted her replaced as well. But my God, just because she's a Republican affiliated with Trump, they're making it sound like they hired Hitler.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with all of this is that these news organizations, you can't, like it or not, Donald Trump got 74 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
He has his point of view and the point of view from his voters is out there and it's popular. You can't just turn a blind eye to it and pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, they are trying that.
But that point of view needs to be represented on news. It just does.
And you can't
pretend like it doesn't exist.
And there's a major difference between whether any of this type of stuff would affect the outcome of an election versus their viewership. But the reality is, you're right. Like, you can't be a major news network and say, we are not going to carry his primary victory speech in fear of we don't have fact checkers live on the air, so we will not we will make an editorial executive decision that we will not air anything Trump says.
Mm-hmm. The problem is too that so Cesar Conde he oversees NBC News as well. So NBC News just lost every Republican. They just lost. Nobody will watch them again because
if any were to begin with.
Well, but. The thing about it is, maybe you like the Today Show, right? Or maybe you liked some little show on NBC. I think this was a disaster for them.
Agreed.
And so,
a PR disaster.
It was a PR disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece of this is because you can't help as a conservative, and particularly you're talking about a conservative woman,
mm-hmm.
even though, to your point, this probably made conservatives who didn't not like Ronna. Okay, well, I feel kind of bad for her. You know what I mean?
Know. Like Trump torture on Truth Social.
Yeah, he
last
did.
Night, so,
he did.
So
she's getting it both ways.
She really is a woman without a country right now.
Her agent dumped her.
Yeah,
everybody dumped her.
Yeah, she's in no man's land, as Trump said.
I will say that you can't help as a conservative and a woman, especially look at all of those individuals and what they said. Understand that became personal. That what Rachel Maddow and what Mika said, what Chuck Todd said, all those individuals, they're saying it about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they feel about you. And so that now people internalize that, even though to Greg's point, you know, a lot of pro-Trump individuals don't necessarily like her and are glad that she stepped down.
Yeah.
But on the other side, I do respect the fact that she never came out and bashed Trump,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they wanted. If she on her first day had said, "Oh, I hated Donald Trump," and she had slammed him, they would have loved her.
Oh, she would have got a contract extension.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid and Morning Joe and Mika are all so, even Kristen Welker and Chuck Todd, on the NBC side, if they're so sure about their talents and that they're right and that they have all the facts on their side, why not bring Ronna McDaniel on and debate her?
It's a great point.
It's great TV.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't understand this whole thing. And to be fair, radio fell into this trap too, where it's just a bunch of people that agree with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. And it's a bunch of listeners and viewers who agree with what you're saying. And yes, I agree. It's boring.
Right.
Have two people on there with differing points of view and have them go at it for a little while.
It's the fine balance from a broadcasting, especially from a debate oriented or a talk show standpoint of having people that agree with each other all the time versus the other extreme of where they're constantly in disagreement and you're like, there's no way you disagree on every single thing. It sounds contrived for the sake of
exactly.
argument.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But like, that's why being authentic matters.
Yep.
That's so true, Nick. It just shows they don't want to have the conversation.
No, they don't.
And they accuse us even in conservative talk radio, if somebody calls in.
Yesterday it happened.
If somebody calls in and says, hey, just yesterday.
Yeah, Mike in Harleysville called in and said, well, Biden governs.
Yeah. And so you, and Nick, you were so respectful to him. You listened, you had the conversation, and I thought that was great. And we need to have the conversation. Obviously, at NBC, they do not want to hear the other side, and they judge you, and they think that you are basically the devil if you are voting for Trump.
I just don't understand, you know, I put my programming hat on, and I'm just like, yes, this hire will shake things up. This will get Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid out of their safe spaces where they're just, you know, talking to clapping seals and, you know, not literally because they don't have a live studio audience, but you know what I mean.
Right.
And have somebody else in there who's going to debate them. And if they're so sure that they're right, then they should have no problem doing it.
And oh, by the way, too, she was only hired as a contributor. She didn't get some prime spot of real estate where she bumped somebody out. So my guess, if I was the programmer there, I would say, all right, so Rana, on Tuesday nights, I want you on with Joy Reid at 7:30. Whatever day Maddow's on, one day a week, I want you on there. And you put her on with all your big shows for the sake of some back and forth and some differing viewpoints.
But if I'm CNN, CNN's the one who should go after her.
That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Because at least they try and have debates, you know what I mean, as much as they possibly can. Fox is good at it, too. But MSNBC does not want to have debates, and they just it's this trend that's happening. We saw it start during COVID with social media, and any opposing viewpoint they immediately shut down and they immediately got rid of. And we can only have one way of thinking, and that's not healthy. Debate is key to anything that we do.
Right.
And yet you are so right, but also just a conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
That's at the heart of all of this. What I see specifically when you think about suburban, we talk about suburban women and moms all the time with the abortion issue and so on and so forth. I think for a lot of people, for women especially, in crowds of women, if you're a conservative woman, or even let's say you're in the middle of the road politically, the women especially tend to be quiet, and right, because you're worried about this. And so to me personally, that's why NBC News specifically, they now, this is going to touch their brand, not just MSNBC. We could go, well, it was MSNBC. No. This was NBC News. Yeah. It was a Chuck Todd. And so this, trust me, this hurts the brand.
All right, we'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. You'll hear Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow take their victory lap after ousting Ronna McDaniel. As we continue, it is Kale and Company.
I want my Nick, Don, and Greg
on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, we've got to have, you know, we have to have, because Greg and Nick love to sing, we got to have a Parks karaoke night.
That
would be so much fun. Yeah. Come on.
It's a hard pass.
We love Parks here, and this is how you win. Action, entertainment, great dining, and excitement only at Parks Casino, P-A-R-X. Perfect for a girls' night out, karaoke night out, date night, happy hour. It's my casino of choice, as you know, and the official winning partner of your Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, my goodness, that 3,200 state-of-the-art slots, 115 live table games, state-of-the-art sports book, 150-foot video wall, all those comfy reclining seats, perfect for the college hoops tourney right now, MMA, or baseball opening day tomorrow, plus award-winning restaurants, Parks Grill Steakhouse, Liberty Bell Gastropub, and, of course, the Bamboo Noodle House. I think Zioli, last time that he was at the Bamboo Noodle House, he was like, oh, it was so good. He cracks me up. You know who else cracks us up? All these comedians and headliners coming soon to the Excite Center. The Frontmen, March 29th. Clay Walker, this summer, July 13th. And Dylan Scott, August 10th. Comic Nick Swardson from Reno 9/11. That's April 6th. And America's Top Psychic Medium, Matt Frazier, April 20th. They got free parking, valet parking, EV charging stations. For all things Parks Casino, visit Parks, P-A-R-X, casino.com. Parks Casino, this is how you win. Got to be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday morning, cut sheet in less than an hour. We'll actually hold off on the Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow audio until the cut sheet in regards to their victory celebration over the ousting of Ronna McDaniel. So that's coming up at 7:45. Tony Bruno at 8:30. And before we get to the cut sheet this morning, we'll get to Trump and Truth Social soaring on the stock market yesterday, and also the big case going on before SCOTUS when it comes to abortion and that pill. Very, very big story. We'll get to that coming up in just about a half hour. But I do want to mention this. We mentioned this briefly last Friday during Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon. We are going to start doing on this show a Veterans Spotlight. And next Wednesday, and the first Wednesday of every month at 9:30, we will be presenting to you with our partners at Window Nation the 1210 WPHT Veterans Spotlight. This is a program where we will shine a spotlight on one outstanding local vet in partnership with the Travis Mannion Foundation, celebrating their remarkable commitment to community service and their exceptional service in the military. And this week we are honoring Josh Jabin, J-A-B-I-N. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly.
Jabin.
Okay. Yeah. Josh Jabin, United States Marine Corps vet, chief operating officer of the Travis Mannion Foundation, and their exemplary contribution to the veteran community. And this is all courtesy and presented by Window Nation. For all your window and door needs, you can visit windownation.com. So I think this is going to be a great little feature that we do on a monthly basis, because I think every single person in this audience can never thank the veterans enough for what they do, and we'll have our small little part in it moving forward. So looking forward to that. So thank you to Travis Mannion Foundation and Window Nation. All right, we'll come back, kick off hour number two. Dawn's got some news on the way, and while you shouldn't take my financial advice, you should listen. I think I was right. We'll give you the details when we come back. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.